Most people think they know what China looks like. But far from the cities are places you've probably never seen. And maybe never even heard of. Ancient temples built into cliffsides. Remote highlands hiding lost civilizations. And landscapes that feel more like another planet. This is the other China. The one the world almost forgot. Where the clouds thin and the sky takes over the earth, a golden temple clings to a jagged peak, as if placed there by the heavens themselves. This is Laojun Mountain. Legend says that over 2,000 years ago, Laozi, the ancient sage of Taoism, came here seeking silence. Not to escape the world, but to rise above its noise. There are 99 bends to the top. Not just a test of strength, but a quiet reminder of Taoist wisdom. Balance comes when you move with nature, not against it. Above 2,000 meters, the world below disappears, and only stillness remains. The temple, rebuilt in the Ming and Qing dynasties, sits perfectly aligned with the mountain's energy, following centuries-old feng shui principles. Even today, pilgrims come not just for the view, but for the feeling. Because standing here, where philosophy meets sky, it's easy to believe that truth lives somewhere above the clouds. A honeycomb of caves clings to a towering cliff, its paths stitched together by narrow wooden walkways and centuries of devotion. This is Maijishan, the Wheat Stack Mountain, named for its rounded shape, but remembered for what lies within. Since the 4th century, monks and artisans carved over 7,000 sculptures into its rock face. Many built from wooden frameworks covered in clay, shaped with exquisite care. From palm-sized Buddhas to giants towering 16 metres high, their features tell a larger story. Gandharan influences from India, Persian elegance, and Chinese realism, all shaped by the currents of the Silk Road. Unlike the stone-cut Buddhas of Longmen or Yungang, these figures feel more delicate, more lifelike, more human. Over 12 dynasties, Maijishan became a sanctuary for spiritual seekers and a canvas for evolving faith, each cave capturing a different moment in Chinese religious history. yet its purpose remained, to guide the soul inward toward stillness. Built into a fault-line cliff, it has survived earthquakes, empires, and silence. What remains is more than art. It's a meditation carved into the bones of a mountain. Perched on the tip of a spire and wrapped in drifting clouds, this is one of China's most breathtaking temples and one of its most remote. This is Guanyin Temple. Built during the Ming Dynasty, over 1,600 meters above sea level, it honors the Bodhisattva of compassion. The summit is too narrow for more than a prayer. There's no road, only a steep hike, a wooden bridge, and the quiet determination to reach it. Locals believe that prayers offered here rise straight into the sky. And standing this close to the clouds, it's hard to argue. At first, it looks like a red wave. Thousands of wooden homes flowing across a mountain valley. But this isn't a city. This is Larung Ga, the world's largest Tibetan Buddhist academy. Perched 4,000 metres above sea level in remote Sirtar County, Sichuan Province, it was once home to tens of thousands of monks and nuns, living, meditating and studying in quiet determination. The settlement is divided into male and female quarters, and everything here is self-contained. Dorms, temples, libraries, even cremation sites. The academy was founded during the post-Cultural Revolution revival of Tibetan Buddhism, when faith returned quietly to the mountains. The Nyingma school, one of the oldest traditions in Tibetan Buddhism, remains central to its teachings. The striking red colour blanketing every rooftop symbolises purity, humility, and spiritual focus. For many years, hardly anyone outside these mountains knew this place existed. But inside, life went on. Quiet, steady, and full of purpose. There's a calm rhythm here, built on discipline and shared belief. It's the kind of life you rarely see in today's world. People living not for themselves, but for something greater. Thank you. Banjingshan is one of China's five sacred Buddhist mountains. A place long seen as a gateway between the earthly and the divine. Its most iconic feature is the Red Cloud's Golden Summit, where two temples sit on twin rock spires over 2,300 metres above sea level. One is said to be dedicated to Maitreya Buddha, the other to Shakyamuni. A narrow stone bridge connects them, suspended between peaks, sky, and silence. The name Fanjing comes from Fantian Jingtu, meaning Brahma's pure land, and the summit is believed to be the future site of enlightenment for Maitreya Buddha in the Mahayana tradition. For centuries, pilgrims have made the steep climb to this summit, not just for the view, but for what it represents: balance, rebirth, and elevation of the spirit. The dramatic split of the summit reflects Buddhist ideas of duality: two paths, two states of being, one sacred purpose. And even today, surrounded by mist and sky, it remains a living symbol of devotion rising above the noise of the world. In the rolling hills of Guizhou stands a formation that looks too deliberate to be natural. A massive pyramid-shaped mountain rising from farmland, angular and near perfect. Locals have long wondered whether it's a geological coincidence or something more. There are no carvings, no records, just a silent shape that defies easy explanation. There's no myth to guide you, no plaque to read. Just the quiet pull of a place that feels intentional in a world full of questions. Tucked away in Gansu's highlands is a fortress that remains largely unknown, even to those who live nearby. The Ganjia Octagonal Fortress takes its name from its rare eight-sided shape, an architectural anomaly in Chinese history. Possibly built during the Tang or early Song dynasties, its original purpose remains unclear. Some believe it was a defensive outpost. Others see signs of spiritual use linked to the Tibetan Buddhist traditions that have long shaped the region. Its location tells part of the story, set at a crossroads between Han Chinese and Tibetan cultural zones, where military strategy often overlapped with religious life. Inside the weathered walls lie the remains of stupas and temples, suggesting a deeper purpose beyond defence. The octagonal layout may reflect Tibetan cosmology, where eight directions symbolize balance and unity. There are no signs or visitor paths here, just the outline of a forgotten structure still echoing the past, quietly bridging history, culture, and belief. The journey begins at the base of a cliff. ...2,500 metal steps bolted into bare rock, rising through clouds and silence. Until 2016, there were no stairs. Only vine ladders swaying against a 1,400-metre drop. For a very long time, this was the only way in or out. Each step leads deeper into the Dalyang Mountains and further from the world below. You pass goats, scattered cornfields, and nothing else. No roads, no signs, just stone, wind, and the weight of something waiting. Then, almost without warning, the cliff levels out and a village appears. A settlement carved into the side of a mountain. Here, the Yi people have lived in isolation for centuries, their language, dress, and spiritual traditions, rooted in shamanism and reverence for the land, remain alive in daily life. It's not a place designed to be found. But once you arrive, you understand why they stayed. Shaped by hand over more than 1,300 years, the rice terraces of Yuanyang cascade across the mountains like ripples of time. Built by the Hani people, this UNESCO World Heritage Site spans over 113 square kilometres. An intricate agricultural system powered by gravity-fed spring water and generations of collective wisdom. The terraces reveal a vibrant mosaic of colours that shifts with the changing light, setting them apart from ordinary rice fields. Hani cosmology, animism and feng shui guide the design of the land and the cultivation of life. Ducks, fish, snails and rice thrive side by side, forming a living ecosystem that nourishes both the mountain and its people. A quiet triumph of human ingenuity and nature in harmony. It feels like a place painted from memory. Drifting boats between fields of lotus, narrow paths above still water, islands dotted with blossoms, and karst peaks rising like shadows beyond the green. The land is quiet, but never still. The breeze moves gently through bamboo and reflections ripple with every passing boat. And then almost hidden behind the cliffs, a small village appears. Xianrendong, the Cave of the Immortals. Built partly into stone, it's said to have once sheltered Taoist hermits seeking peace beyond the world. A few families still live here, growing rice and herbs as if untouched by time. Exactly the kind of place you'd expect immortals to leave behind. There are places that feel imagined, too dramatic to balance, too dreamlike to be real. Wangxiangu, the Valley of Immortal Gazing, is one of them. Here, granite peaks rise like ancient towers. Mist slips through the trees. Walkways cling to cliff sides. And waterfalls fall into still pools so perfectly placed. It's easy to believe this valley was carved with intention, not erosion. In Chinese culture, places like this are more than beautiful, they're spiritual. The valley recalls the timeless idea of Xianjing, immortal realms, found in Taoist texts and classical paintings. It remains largely unknown beyond the region, but among those who hike here, it is something else entirely. not just a place to walk, but a place to wander inward. The valley doesn't sleep. At night, it's alive in a different way. Lanterns draw the eye, movement fills the space, but somehow it all feels more human. It doesn't look like Earth, but it is, barely. This is Haidushan, or Blackdush Mountain. A volcanic landscape in the Kaidam Basin, formed by lava flows and millions of years of tectonic shift. Stark, jagged and silent, it's been called Mars on Earth for good reason. There's no water, no plants, just black ridges torn by wind and time. Scientists come here to test rover technology. Filmmakers come to borrow its silence. But few travellers ever reach this place. It's a quiet reminder that China's natural extremes go far beyond what most people imagine. Not every wonder is lush or crowded. Some are vast, silent, and almost forgotten. In places like Haidushan, emptiness isn't a void. It's the landscape itself, raw, real, and completely alive. The Kaidam Basin doesn't stop at silence and stone. Keep going, and the land begins to shimmer. Not with life, but with something that looks like it. This is Jade Lake. A patchwork of emerald and turquoise salt pools, perfectly still and impossibly bright. Formed by salt mining, not nature, yet more beautiful than any design. The colour of each pool shifts with the sun, the minerals, even the bacteria below. A man-altered landscape that somehow became divine. And just beyond it, something more volatile. Aiken Spring, known as the Devil's Eye, is a boiling sulfur spring that bubbles red. Gases hiss from the earth. Rings of heat-loving bacteria stain the ground in vivid bands. The air smells of minerals. The land feels unstable. Scientists come here to study extreme environments. Locals speak more cautiously. Some say this spring isn't just dangerous, it's a warning. It looks like a painting, but it's real. Carved not by brush, but by time. Zhang Yidanxia formed over 24 million years as sandstone and minerals settled in layers, then rose, cracked, and folded into waves. Iron oxide turned the ridges red, while other minerals added streaks of yellow, blue, and grey. Wind and rain did the rest. This Rainbow Mountain is one of China's most iconic landforms, and part of a Dangxia landscape type found only in China. Other places may have colour, but nowhere else layers it like this, with such scale, texture, and silence. In the middle of the Gobi Desert, surrounded by golden dunes, there's a shape that seems too perfect to be real. A crescent of deep blue water, curving gently between the sands. This is Crescent Lake, an oasis that has held its shape for over 2,000 years. Despite the dry winds and shifting dunes of Mingsha Mountain, the water never disappears, fed by a hidden underground spring. Beside it stands a small temple pavilion, a quiet shelter once used by Silk Road travellers. A resting place where stillness met belief. Even now, reeds grow at its edge. The sands rise around it. And the crescent remains a quiet symbol of resilience, balance, and the wonder of surviving in the harshest places. Carved into a riverside cliff in Sichuan, the Lashan giant Buddha sits with calm hands and a gaze that's watched over water and pilgrims for over 1,200 years. At 71 metres tall, it remains the largest stone Buddha in the world. It took 90 years to carve all by hand, beginning in the Tang Dynasty. Legend says the monk who started the project, Haitong, offered his own eyes to prove his devotion. But this wasn't just a monument, it was protection. Built at the meeting point of three rivers, it was meant to calm dangerous currents. And it worked. Even today, the Buddha endures. A fusion of faith, nature, and human will that continues to bring peace to those who pass beneath it. In this place, mountain and meaning become one. As the local saying goes, the Buddha is a mountain and the mountain is a Buddha. Along the Yi River near Luoyang, the Longmen Grottoes hold more than 100,000 Buddhist statues. From towering Buddhas to tiny, delicate figures, just centimetres tall. Work began in 493 AD during the Northern Wei Dynasty and continued for centuries. The most famous of them all, the 17-metre Vairocana Buddha, was commissioned under the rule of Empress Wu Zetian, the only female emperor in Chinese history. Her image, some say, inspired the Buddha's face, calm, commanding, and unmistakably royal. More than 2,300 caves and niches line the cliffs, filled with inscriptions, prayers, and carvings that trace the evolution of Buddhist art. From Indian-influenced forms to a distinctly Chinese style. These grottos weren't just religious, they were political. Created in a Confucian world, they used faith and art to project imperial authority, turning devotion into a tool of order and unity. Longmen remains one of China's greatest stone archives, a masterpiece of faith, ambition, and artistry. And even now, the faces in the cliffs watch in silence, worn by time, but still speaking through stone. Across the farmlands of Kaiping stand over 1,800 fortified towers, the Kaiping Diaolu. A UNESCO World Heritage Site and one of China's most unusual architectural legacies. They were built in the late Qing and early Republic periods by overseas Chinese returning from Southeast Asia and the Americas. Concrete was rare at the time, but these towers rise boldly with Roman columns, Baroque domes, and traditional Chinese roofs, combining global ideas with local values. They were homes, watchtowers, and monuments to wealth, but not vanity. Each one embodied a deep-rooted Confucian ethic. Protect the family, honor the ancestors, strengthen the village. This was a time when China was changing fast. And here in one place, migration, modernity, defense, and tradition collided to create something entirely new. No other region in China or the world holds this fusion at such scale or historical depth. Deep in the mountains of Fujian, massive earthen structures rise like fortresses, some circular, others square. These are the Tulu, built by the Hakka people centuries ago as fortified homes for entire clans. Made from packed earth, stone, and wood, they were designed to withstand attacks and time. Some hold up to 800 people across five stories with one main gate and no windows on the lower levels. Security shaped into architecture. Inside, life is communal. Each family lives in a vertical slice, equal in size and rights. They embody Confucian ideals, harmony, hierarchy, and collective living, all built into the walls. It begins quietly. As glacial melt in the highlands of Qinghai far to the west. But as it winds east, the river deepens, darkens, and begins to carry more than just water. This is the Yellow River. The cradle of Chinese civilization. It fed the first cities. It shaped dynasties. It whispered through ancient poems and carved through the hearts of mountains. For over 5,000 years, it's been called the Mother River, not because it's gentle, but because it gave life through chaos. Its floods destroyed empires. Its silt built farmlands. Its spirit became part of the land. Today, the Yellow River still ties together many of China's oldest places, temples, grottos, and sacred peaks. A current of memory beneath stone and soil. But to truly understand its power, you have to see where it roars. This is Huku Waterfall. Where China's Mother River crashes into stone, roaring like thunder and churning with earth. Its name means teapot spout, as if the river is being poured from the sky itself. But it's not just water that falls, it's the land. Carrying the weight of centuries, the river is thick with loess, fine wind-blown silt from the highlands. That's what gives it its colour. Depending on the season, the cascade widens from 20 to 50 metres. And always, it moves with force. In the far reaches of Hunan, the earth rises, not in mountains, but in pillars. Stone towers stretch hundreds of meters into the sky, thin as needles, cloaked in mist. This is Zhangjiajie, a place that doesn't just look surreal. It feels imagined. These quartz sandstone spires were carved by wind, rain, and time. But what they inspired was something far newer: the floating mountains of Avatar. And standing here, surrounded by fog and vertical cliffs, it's easy to see why. Long before Hollywood found it, Zhangjiajie lived in the Chinese imagination as a vision of Xianjing, the immortal realms of Taoist legend. In art, in myth, and now in reality, it represents escape. From gravity, from noise, from the world below. It doesn't feel like a place you arrive at, more like a dream you wander into. And never fully leave. Discover the world, explore the extraordinary. See you in the next adventure.